name. Amen. Jesus is going to be talking about the Father in this chapter quite a bit. Here he's beginning, and he's saying that I've got a witness. What's he saying? He's saying, I witness myself that I'm giving you the truth of God. And how is the Father testifying to it? Well, look at all the miracles. All those miracles come about. They know they come from God. So he's testifying that God the Father is by these miracles that you see and are happening throughout his ministry all around is a testimony that God is with him. Because God wouldn't be blessing some big sinner somewhere with a miracle around. So Jesus Christ, that's what he's saying to him. And he said, it's written in your law that that the testimony of two men is true. You had to have two men. One witness was not enough for their courts, but you had two men is true. And he said, I bear witness of myself. The Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now, these words, verse 20, spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on it. Laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Remember, at this time, his brothers and sisters did not believe upon him. And they egged him to go to this feast at the start. He didn't go with them. They all went up. He remained where he was. Then he came up about the middle of the feast, and then he began to teach in the middle of the temple, and drawing crowds to him and coming, and that's where he is here in the treasury. He taught in the temple, and they didn't lay their hands on him. God's holding them back because it wasn't his hour yet. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. And said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. He said, I am from above. You're from this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not I, that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Wow. Now remember, Jesus is not a pastor. He does not preach in the same church all the time. He's an evangelist. His 3.5 years of ministry go town to town and village to village and the temple at different times. He is preaching the same message over and over again. What he preached in one town, he'll preach in another town. He's giving the witness so that people can believe upon him and know. And the miracles are already proofs. They're the proofs that his word is true. And so here he is talking to them. And he said, I'm going to be going away. Well, now they didn't understand that at all. His disciples did not understand that. And in fact, you and I, if it weren't explained to us, we wouldn't understand it either. But here he is, and he's talking about them. He's talking to the Jews. The Jews were those that were against him. And they were maybe leaders in the temple of the Sadducees and Pharisees classes. And so he says, I'm going to go away, and where I'm going, you can't come. Now, he was talking of his death. He was talking of the time when he would go away, and he promised the disciples something. He promised them the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? It's Jesus come back in spiritual form into every heart that he saves. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Bible will tell you sometimes, well, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet because Jesus hadn't gone away yet. So it's Jesus coming back. I'm so thankful to have the Holy Spirit in my heart. Now, sometimes I don't recognize it when the Holy Spirit's talking to me. I ought to, but I sometimes don't. I don't think you do either. But I believe he will be awakening your conscience and awakening some scripture in your mind to bring you to a place where you'd repent of what you're doing or where you would be kind to somebody that you haven't been that kind to. That you would live a life that would be bringing honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have many times been just struck by my own stupidity. Now, I don't know whether you're struck at my stupidity or not, but you ought to be struck at your stupidity is what I'm talking about. I remember a time, I've told about it a time or two, a man who was just wild traffic, just back and forth, just crowded, expressway. It made me mad. You ever get mad? Well, I started going after him. And then I realized, just like a flash, I'm doing the very thing that he's doing, and it made me mad, so this, I'm making somebody else mad. And I realized, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I just backed off. And I haven't done it since. Praise the Lord. You know, we've got enough bad traffic out there without us losing their temper. If somebody wants to pull in front of you, let them pull in front of you. Don't get a face like that and try to drive 10 feet behind the car in front of you so nobody can move and change a lane. With all the lanes we have, you have to be able to change a lane to get off where you need to get off. Isn't that right? Sure it is. Anyway, the Holy Spirit is working with him and the things that he's done. And then he makes this statement. He says, whither I go, you cannot come. Well, that's the truth, too. When we die and go to heaven, we don't come back. There are no ghosts. Some people believe in them, think they do. Some people think they can talk to them, whatever, but I don't believe it. At any rate, he said, he's going to go where they cannot come. Will he kill himself? And then he makes a statement in verse 23. He said unto them, ye are from beneath. Well, that's where all of us are from. This world down here. You are from beneath. For if you believe not I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins. Wow. He's from above. And he said, I'm giving you the knowledge. I'm giving you this truth. What I'm preaching to you is the message from above, from the Father in heaven. Now, the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the gospel. That's the truth. That's what can give hope to people. Now, I was just talking with Robert here before services, and we were talking about visiting and witnessing to our family that's lost and what they sometimes think of us. They think you're crazy. They think you're a fanatic. I don't think I will confess to being a fanatic, but I don't think I'm a good fanatic. I don't think I'm near fanatic enough. I still walk very easily in this world and around lost people and stupid people, worldly people. And sometimes I just keep my mouth shut. But maybe I'm a fanatic since I've been doing this 64 years and better. And I don't plan on changing anytime. I think this is the Word of God. And I'm going to go to my grave believing the message that these men wrote. I believe God the Holy Spirit gave it to us. And I believe real simple truth is what you ought to all have. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. You shall die in your sins. How will you die in your sins? If Jesus Christ does not pay the debt for your sins, you'll die in your sins. I don't care who you are. I don't care what religion it is you got. I don't care where you live. I don't care if you have a holy background in history with all your family. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sins. There is no other name. There is no other way. And that's what it said in Acts 4:12. Not any salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How can you get your sins forgiven? Now, most religion, and even as I was raised in a Christian religion in a Methodist church when I was a kid, and there were some very good preachers. Some of them were really good, preached the gospel. But a lot of them didn't get that close to it. You know something? Nobody comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Now, you're not good enough for you to go to the Father. Now, you may think you're good enough. I've met a few people who thought they were good enough. But I never could convince them that they weren't. And they admitted to what I call sin. But they didn't admit that it was sin. No, no. That was just what they were doing. Well, he said, you're going to die in your sins. Why? Because you won't take the payment that God makes. And by the way, that's a gift. It is not a reward. God is not looking for good little boys to go to heaven. You've been told that? Good little boys go to heaven, bad little boys go to hell. Well, God is not looking for good little boys. He sees every single one of us, and you're all sinners. If you're not sinners in any other way than being so selfish and putting yourself as number one, every single one of us that way. You were born that way when you were a baby. You don't care how your mother is feeling. I want that breast milk. I want to be changed. I want to have attention. We begin selfish. We live selfish. We die selfish, most of us. Even those of us that are maybe getting beyond selfishness in certain things, giving to support missions, going out to witness, paying for tracts, pricing out tracts, whatever, being kind to people, all those are all good things. They don't make you deserve to go to heaven. They don't wipe out all the sins you've committed. They don't wipe out all the hate that's in your heart and the disappointment that you have. He said, you shall die in your sins. Why? Because God has a salvation that is a gift. It is not a reward. It is not earned. It is not payment for your being so faithful and good and giving your tithe or whatever, or supporting missions, or helping poor people. It's a gift. And it's a gift to everybody that will call upon Him. God didn't make any difference. You can be a murderer, or you can be a person that didn't even lie or steal in your life. What you have to have is the knowledge that you need a lawyer. Now, thinking about that, I've had some people say, I'm going to wait till I get up there and I'm going to walk up and I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to tell God this and tell God that. You won't even get the chance. You can't even see the mayor of San Antonio. You might have a hard time, the select man for your part of the city, getting to see him. You might see his nurse or his aide or his secretary or something like that. Have you ever tried to get through to some upper class people like that? They're sheltered. They're very sheltered. They hire people to take care of people like you. Isn't that right? You didn't know that. Okay. Unless you have the payment of Jesus Christ, the gift of God that He gave to you when you believed the message that He preached, God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever, I wrote my name in there 64 years ago or better. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's clear. Don't get all confused and think the Bible is so difficult that nobody can understand it. You can understand it. You can understand that. If you don't understand anything else, at least understand that. It's a gift. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His Son. Now, I don't know any of you well enough. I don't love you enough to give any one of my sons for you. But God did. God did. Now, that's the beautiful message of the gospel. No salvation in any other. None other name. That's a big name. Jesus Christ is a great big name. He said, if you believe not I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I'll do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Praise the Lord. Somebody believed the message, and John tells us about it. John is an eyewitness. John is one of His favorite disciples. John was with Him all the way. And John outlived most of the rest of the apostles because he lived to be an old man when he wrote the Gospel of John here and the book of Revelation and the three little messages from John. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He said unto them, when ye have lifted up. Now that's an interesting thought. The Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. John 3:14 tells us another lifting up. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's happening? They're in the wilderness, they're out there, and all of a sudden these fiery snakes, I don't know whether those snakes were red and like fire, or whether the bite when he bit you that it made you feel like fire. But they were called fiery serpents, at any rate. They're deadly. They're deadly. Moses went to the Lord about it. Said, Lord, what do we do? He said, take and make a brazen serpent. A serpent made of brass. Put it on a pole. Put it in the center of the camp. Anybody that will come to that pole and look at the pole won't die. They'll be healed. Now that sounds a little stupid, doesn't it? Sounds a little foolish, doesn't it? Sounds almost like idolatry. In fact, the Jews made that thing an idol later on in their history. But at any rate, this is what God used. Now, the people that did not believe it and did not go, the Bible tells us they died. But to all of them that went, he didn't check their registry. He didn't know whose tribe they were from. He didn't know how many righteous things they've done or how many wicked things they've done. That's not even in the picture. What's in the picture? Obedience. Look and live. That's simple, isn't it? I love simplicity. I love the simplicity of the Word of God. And a lot of people make it way too complicated. Look and live. If you will look, you will live. And the people that came there and looked, lived. And the ones that stayed home, died. Isn't that a message? John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look and live. And that's what we can tell you today. Look to Jesus Christ today and you live. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful message. It's not so complicated as most religion makes it. It's very simple. It's plain. It's forward, clear. I love the simplicity of it. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He. Well, they lifted Him up on the cross. He hung there 3 or 4 hours. Don't know exactly how long. I don't think it was as near as long as a lot of others. And while He's on that cross, there's a thief being crucified with Him. I love this story. I love this story. It wasn't a Jewish priest. It wasn't a Sadducee or a Pharisee. It was a thief. Maybe even a murderer. He even confessed, they're killing me. This is my just due. But this man has done nothing amiss. Wow. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Wow. I don't know whether you might have heard Jesus preach. I know he heard the people preach to him in the cross. They're throwing it in his face. His enemies are throwing. He said. And they got the gospel to him. And he looks upon him and says, this guy didn't do anything crooked. He didn't do anything to deserve crucifixion. And he looked up to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's not a very great prayer. It's amazing it's written down, as simple as it is. He didn't pray out loud, or he didn't pray in secret, or he didn't He couldn't get on his knees. You can find a lot of things wrong with that, and a lot of people do not like what I'm going to tell you right now. They really do not like it because it doesn't fit with their scheme of God saving the best. Today, now this is from Jesus' mouth according to John. He says he was there. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not the grave. Yeah, his body's going to be in the grave. Today, that thief is going to die today and he's going to paradise. That's out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Wow. Believe, look and live. God made it simple so everybody could get it. Thank you for doing it. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He. Well, I'm sure that convinced a lot of people. In fact, in the day of Pentecost, when Peter gets up and preaches, thousands of people get saved. And then they have a revival like you wouldn't believe. People are getting saved right and left. And Philip, later on, just after this, he was going along doing a real good ministry and he's getting people saved and whatever. And the Holy Spirit picks him up and takes him out in the desert. And here's an Ethiopian eunuch. Now that doesn't mean necessarily he was a black man. Many of the king's sons that were captured by the rival kings were castrated and made eunuchs so that the king could put them into work in his government and his harem and whatever. So he could have been a Jew coming back, but he's from Ethiopia. He does not understand Isaiah 53. Who is this? And so Philip preaches the gospel to him. It's Jesus! He said, I believe. What would hinder me from being baptized? Oh no, you got to go through a catechism class. No, you've got to do this. You've got to memorize the Ten Commandments. No! He said, here's water. What does hinder me being baptized? Nothing. He baptized him and sent him on his way. Praise the Lord. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. That I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words. Many believed in him. Now, verse 31, the truth shall set you free. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, in another chapter in John chapter 14, verse 6, one of the most famous verses that is known by many, many people, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Who does that exclude? Everybody. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, preaching that message and giving that testimony in house after house or testimony after testimony offends people. I have offended many people that I did not want to offend. But I'd rather offend people than offend God. Yes. What is he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have a way, a truth, or a life. No man. That excludes everybody. Well, what about the Jews that didn't believe? Excludes them. What about all the Muslims in the world? What about all the Chinese and all of their religions? What about all the little religions of the people climbing the hills back in the jungles? Yes, it includes them all. Every single one of those that get saved will have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Do you feel sorry for all those heathen people around the world? Yes, I really do. And I spent my life being a missionary and supporting missionaries, and I'm still supporting missionaries. To take the message to somebody that hasn't heard it, or that hasn't received it, or that isn't saved, and that they might be saved. And how valuable is that? The Bible says one soul is worth more than the whole world. That's an amazing thing. I had a first cousin just pass away. She was 97. We had been good friends and close together. Actually lived a block or two from each other for several years. She just passed away at 97. She'd been in a nursing home most of the last years of her life. And so she was saved. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know why she had to hang around a nursing home for year after year. But if I get my brothers, and in Philippians it says, let your request be made known unto God. My request is, I die with my boots on. That's a Texas statement. Or I might just die with my socks on in my bed, lay down and say, good night, Lord, and then say, well, hello, Lord. That would be the way I want to go. Now, I may not get my wish. I've prayed for a lot of things I didn't get. Some of them, I'm glad God didn't give them to me. All right. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow. They said unto him, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. That's the most ridiculous statement. At the very time, they're paying taxes to the Roman government. They're in bondage to the Roman government. What about their own history of slavery in Egypt? Those were the sons of Abraham. Yeah. Never in bondage to any man. Great. I'll tell you what. Look it on down. It says, verse 34, verily, verily, truly, truly, surely, surely, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Let me tell you what. You keep smoking, you'll become a servant. Servant to tobacco. You keep chewing, you'll become a servant. Servant to tobacco. You keep drinking. Do you know all the drunks came from social drinkers? They didn't start out to be drunks. None of them did. Man, I've dealt with a lot of drunks in 64 years of ministry. They didn't start out that way. But after a while, they couldn't give it up and couldn't quit it, couldn't turn loose of it. They ruined their marriage. They ruined their testimony with their children. They ruined their work and job where they can't keep a job. You can be a slave to drink. You can be a slave to alcohol. I was just hearing about one of the high school friends of Eddie and Billy, and his jaw had just been removed because of chewing tobacco. And his life got cancer. General Grant died of throat cancer. Somebody painted a picture of him in one of the battles with a big cigar in his mouth, and he's on his horse, and published it in the papers. The public sent him 5,000 cigars. He smoked about 20 a day. Finally, it caught up with him in his 60s, after he was president of the United States and was out of the presidency. He started having, even drinking water was like fire in his throat, because he had throat cancer from those cigars. Well, now, I smoked and I didn't get cancer. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I drank and I was drunk one time in my life, never but once. I vomited all in my fine fixed up car. Have you ever tried to get the smell of vomit out of a car? And my daddy didn't help me one bit. You drank it, you cleaned it up. I tell you what, Stupid. A whole lot of work there. You got a lot of sin that's holding you captive. Some of you got doubt and fear that holds you captive. Some of you got lust that holds you captive. Some of you've got all sorts of things that come before God in your mind, in your heart, in your prayers, in your work. We be never in bondage to any man. I don't know how they could keep saying that. Now, verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And I would see that, I don't see how anybody could agree that that's true. And that's not true. You are a servant of sin. You're a servant of that alcohol. You're a servant of those drugs. You ought to be real careful anything you take and you get used to, because it could hurt you. But look what verse 36 says. If the Son shall make you free, you should be free indeed. I smoked 16 years. I started when I was 5. Literally. I played football 6 years. Smoked all the time. But I got saved. And I thought the things I was doing wrong were smoking, drinking, and cussing, gambling. And bless your heart, I threw them away. I quit them. Smoking was the hardest for me. It was months down the line. And my Air Force buddies would come by and smoke, blow smoke in my face. You'll be over this in a couple of weeks. 64 years! Well, I may not be all I ought to be. And I'm not all that I want to be. But I'm thankful for what I am. I'm a saved Christian. Not by any works I've done, but by the gift of God, He gave me eternal life. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because the word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do which we've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, make this statement. Pay attention to this. You got your Bible? You looking at it? If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Wow. How close like your father and family are you? Most of us don't get too far away from our raising or our lack of raising, either one. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You know what? Your works and life are a testimony to your father and mother. What is the mother and father for? Raising children right. Raising children to know the Lord. Raising children to know right from wrong. Raising children with self-discipline that they can learn to discipline themselves. And until that time, you need to discipline them. Amen, Brother Lindell. That's good preaching. God bless you.